Welcome to Legislative Report with your state representative, Chris Dush of the 66th Legislative District in Jefferson and Indiana Counties. Representative Dush, welcome to another report to your constituents. Today we'd like to begin by talking about the budget. Obviously, we're a little overdue here. We've got some aspects of it done and some things are not done. Can you talk to us about where we are, why we are where we are, and what's holding us up?
Certainly. The legislature passed the budget bill, the actual budget bill. It's about $32 billion. And the governor ended up letting it become law without his signature again for the third time. Although I did not vote for it, it was a lot more responsible than previous budget packages. We were closer to where I wanted to be. And I will say that we have been trying to negotiate with the governor on the various revenue packages, but the governor keeps coming back with things that are going to impact everybody, including things like the severance tax, which will have the net effect of driving up property taxes as the community services and our schools and such end up with an increase to the cost of their utilities. So those kinds of things are really non-starters with us, and we don't need that huge increase that he wants in order to fund extra programs in the next year's budget, I believe.
Representative, one of the things we were working on in Harrisburg that we're discussing in the legislature were the code bills, the judicial code, the administrative code, the education code. There's several different bills that authorize spending. Talk to us about what happened this week in the House and where these bills sit right now.
Well, partly because of the governor's intransigence, as well as some other issues that ended up coming up, we only managed to get through the welfare code at the beginning of this process, at the end of last week and the beginning of this week. Actually, Monday, we passed the welfare code bill. But one of the things that really surprised me on that bill was that we actually had people standing up and arguing against a copay for people who were making $250,000 a year or more. The copay would start at about $50 a month once you get to that point, and they would still be eligible for all these thousands and thousands of dollars worth of benefits. Unfortunately, there are people that were sending out mailers and stuff and trying to get folks in the districts to fight against this, but there was a lot of misinformation there that I would like to get cleared up. Actually, that would not be a loss of benefits as long as people that were making that $250,000 a year were paying the $50 a month, basically a cable bill, in order to keep those benefits coming. The other bills, unfortunately, like I said, we have not figured out a way to pay for everything. So we're at a kind of a stalemate while everybody gets together and tries to figure out where we are actually going with this.
One of the things that we actually did finally accomplish in the last couple of weeks in Harrisburg was a piece of legislation that deals with the Office of the State Inspector General. This is a title, a position that has been created by executive order in the past, and we're trying to make it a little more permanent and give it a little bit of independence. Talk to us about the IG here.
Certainly. The Inspector General office was actually created by executive order, as you mentioned. Therefore, any governor could just turn around and eliminate all those positions and just make them take a walk. And in a position where that office is inspecting corruption, inspecting welfare fraud, waste, and abuse, there's a potential where that could be a political hot potato and somebody could say, we're just going to eliminate that position. Our legislation that we passed this week not only ensures that that has more stability, it's actually going to be a permanent position. It will be having its own line item in the budget. And what I love about it is these investigators are getting a return on our investment of about 11 to 1. In other words, for every dollar we spend, we're getting about $11 back, or they are detecting the fraud and preventing that money from going out. That is a fantastic return on investment. I would like to see those positions expanded and allow us to create even more savings as well as go after the people who are actively involved in fraud.
And another piece of really good news for taxpayers and making sure that transparency is the word of the day here. We've got another bill that moved through the House that deals with lobby disclosure, lobbyists and what they're letting the folks know about who they're influencing and how. Talk to us about lobby disclosure and why this is a great idea.
Well, this is House Bill 1175, and it was approved by the House this week to better address lobbying violations and ensure the public has more information with respect to how lobbyists attempt to influence public policy. This legislation would actually increase the maximum penalty imposed by the Ethics Commission for an unlawful act. It would also incrementally ratchet up the administrative penalties imposed for negligent failure to report to a maximum of $200 a day after the initial 20-day period. Additionally, this bill would improve the current electronic filing system for lobbyists and require all filings to be posted on the Department of State's publicly accessible website within 7 days of receipt. This is on its way to the Senate for consideration, and this is something the public has been clamoring for decades, and I'm glad to see us push it through.
Representative Dush, thank you for this informative report to your constituents, and tune in next time for a legislative report with your state representative, Chris Dush.